In that scroll is written every single person's life from beginning to end. Not the way that you would write it, but the way God would write it. Don't you want to see it? Don't you want to see God's perspective on your life? I do. I don't know, maybe some of you think that's scary, and it is. There's only one worthy to open that scroll. There's only one worthy to reveal who we are and what our life is all about. And in that song, I love that song when it goes up and it keeps going and it says, every nation and tongue, every people, every tribe, every life written on that scroll. That's why we need to learn how to pray. That's why we need to learn how to pray, because prayer unlocks the voice of God in our lives to such a degree that we hear from the very words of Jesus. Jesus can unlock the scroll. He can unlock your life. We don't know why things happen in our lives. It will be a mystery. We will take mysteries to our graves. My 8-year-old was playing Minecraft yesterday, and he said, come on, Dad, join me. It's fun. It's fun. And so I grabbed a controller, and I couldn't figure it out. He's like, Dad, this is fun. It's fun. Here, you take some wood, and you make a table, and then you can, once you get the table, you can go mine for metal, and then you make a sword out of the metal, and you could actually make a pickaxe to get more stuff, and then you can make a house, and you can build factories, and you can make a railroad, and there's John right there. He's just shaking his head at me. But I couldn't figure it out, could I, John? I couldn't figure it out. I had to learn some stuff. I understand that my sermons sometimes are hard to understand. I understand that the Bible is really hard to understand. I know I'm throwing Greek and Hebrew at you guys sometimes. But would you play Minecraft with me? I'm trying. I'm trying. I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to keep doing the best I can with my study, but I want to make it relevant to you guys. I want to make it sing in your heart from week to week. And I want our sermon time to just be a time of worship, but also a time of just practical stuff. And I think the next 3 weeks will be good, because we're looking at how Jesus prays. And we're going to learn some things about how Jesus prayed. Remember, Jesus loves, he leads, he abides, and he guides. And at the end of chapter 16, he says, take courage, I've conquered the world. You're going to go through a bunch of hard stuff, but keep in mind that I've conquered the world. That was before the cross, before the death of Jesus, before the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. He's already conquered the world. In fact, he's already raised Lazarus from the dead. He's given sight to a man born blind. He's changed water into wine. Jesus has already conquered the world. He encourages his disciples. He says, I have said this to you so that you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Do you believe it? Do you believe that in Christ you are a conqueror? Beth Moore wrote a book called Praying the Scriptures, and there's like 20 chapters in this book, and it's all about conquering things that we deal with in prayer, one by one by one by one. And she teaches us how to do that in this book. It's a wonderful book. But how does Jesus conquer? He conquers by loving, by leading, by abiding with us and in us and asking us to abide in him. He guides us by way of the Holy Spirit, which is what Heather talked about, and he conquers. He conquers. He conquers the powers of evil and darkness. That great conqueror Jesus has a method of warfare. He tells Peter to put his sword down. But in this chapter, chapter 17, Jesus moves straight from that statement of saying, I have conquered the world, into a prayer. A long one. Okay, so we're going to break it up into 3 weeks. First, Jesus prays for himself. And that's what we're going to look at this week, 1 through 5. We're going to look, Jesus prays for himself. Maybe you're thinking right now, I didn't know we were supposed to pray for ourselves. I thought we were supposed to pray for other people. Well, Jesus, in the next section, prays for his disciples. And that's what we're going to cover in next week. And then the following week, Jesus prays for the world. And I think there's things, and I know there's things in here that we can learn from Jesus about prayer. Because we want to unlock the scroll. We want to get close to Jesus in prayer. We need to, as a church, get close to Jesus, to get close to God. Jesus is, of course, a master at teaching and of healing, but he's also a master of prayer. The text will reveal some insights. Here's a myth. It's bad to pray for yourself. Here's another myth. It's bad to ask more from God. Here's another myth. It's bad to ask for glory, to be glorified. And we'll get to that one at the end, because Jesus asked to be glorified. What does that mean? You have to qualify that, right? What does that mean? Let's dig in here. So Jesus prays. Here we go. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father. Father. This is a familiar sight for many of us who've grown up in church, right? We pray the Lord's Prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer begin? Our Father. So Jesus learned this. This first word is significant. We shouldn't look over it. Even his actions here, we shouldn't look over it. Let's read Psalm 123. I read this earlier in the message. I want to read it to you in another translation. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us. This was a song of ascent, which meant that the Hebrews would sing this psalm on their way up to Jerusalem. And as they were on their way up to Jerusalem to worship, their eyes would be up. And they'd be looking up. And they'd be saying, Lord, I'm going to continue to pray until you have mercy on me. I'm going to continue to make this ascent up the hill to your spot of worship until I worship you in such a way, until your mercy comes down. It's an amazing prayer. Jesus looks up to heaven. I thought more about this looking up idea and the word Father. Jesus is going to pray for himself. However, his posture and his first word, just the first word of his prayer, say something significant. Jesus shows us that praying for ourselves begins with admitting our dependency on our Father. So if I'm like this, and I'm looking down and I'm saying, Father, that's different than being like this and saying, Father. If you read the rest of that passage, right, like a slave to their master, like a handmaiden to their, this is acknowledging that God is in control. This is a posture of submission. Just with one word and one action, Jesus shows us just how it is that his relationship is as a human being is to God, his Father. Like a child who comes to their parent, who looks up and raises their arms and says, Father. So too Jesus comes in prayer to his Father. It's a posture. And sadly, it's why we don't pray. That posture is hard. It's hard to admit that someone is your master. Because we want to be masters. I want to be the master of my life. I want to have control. I want to have say. I want my life to go the way I want to have it go. Thank you very much. I saw this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You have only one master now. With this yes to God belongs just as clear a no. So saying Father and raising your eyes to heaven, you are saying yes to God. But it also requires a no to all injustice, a no to all evil, a no to all lies, to all oppression and all violation of the weak and poor, he says, to all ungodliness. See, I told you this posture is not easy, but it is simple. To all mockery of what is holy, he says, your yes to God requires a no to everything that tries to interfere with your serving God alone. Even if that's your job, your possessions, your home, or your honor in the world, belief means decision. I'd argue in this case, belief means yes to God. It means yes, Father. Prayer is an act of submission and a yes to God. Lifting our eyes to the one where our help comes from, acknowledging that we need help from the Greek word pater, Father. Greeks called Zeus pater. Okay, Zeus, the lightning bolt guy, all powerful. Jesus says pater. Pater is the supreme authority in family life and an individual's life. Of course, Jesus is talking about Yahweh, identifying the God of Israel as his Father, the supreme authority over creation and the unfolding plan of redemption of which he is a part. With one action and one word, Jesus is ready to continue with his prayer. So maybe you felt in the past like when you pray, you got to confess all these sins first to get clean enough to be able to ask God for something for yourself. Let me tell you, if there's submission there, if your heart is submitted to God, if there's already a conversation of prayer brewing in your soul, all you have to do is say, Father. No penance necessary. Jesus said, I don't no longer call you servants, I call you my friend. That's how we approach Jesus. That's how we approach God. Father. With one action and one word, Jesus is ready to continue with his prayer. Let's read further now. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. So we've busted myth one, I hope, here. It's not bad to pray for yourself. And certainly it's not normal that you would start off with praying with yourself. But Jesus does it. Jesus recognizes the very hour has come for God's help. This is an emergency. It's in the moment. It is now. And it's a good thing that he has had a long conversation with his Father up until this point, because he is right in that zone of nearness, where he can call upon his Father with one word. In an act of submission, in an act of love and of grace, he can make his request known to the Father. Jesus recognizes that the very hour has come where he will be taken into custody. He will be put on trial. He will be beaten. He will be tortured and executed. It's often been said that the greatest glory that man can experience is in the experience of war, because when life is on the line, suddenly the decision to do something becomes a decision for your life. Now, Jesus, being Jesus, is going to redefine glory as we know it. Jesuit ethicist John Kavanaugh says that violence is a failure of the imagination. See, Jesus isn't going to be a conqueror that's going to come in and conquer with a sword violently. We know that. His conquering is with prayer. His conquering is fighting a battle in the spiritual realm, not against flesh and blood. Instead, I'd say it's where Jesus' prayer, that place, that is the place where the imagination finds freedom. The imagination finds a place. So when you and I pray, we have to engage our imaginations. Maybe you're having a hard time seeing God as your Father. Imagine yourself as a little kid, one of these precious little ones that run around here on Sunday mornings. Lydia, who was dancing in the row here just a little bit ago. Use your imagination. Ask God to hone that for His purposes. It's where the imagination finds freedom. Jesus redefines glory. His glory is going to the cross. His glory is doing the Father's will. He will die for the sin of Israel. He will be the Lamb before the foundation of the world. Real glory. Like we said, real conquering is doing the Father's will. And then in verse 2, since you have, and since I have, this phrase, since. Now, since this has happened, right? So again, how to pray for yourself. One, you're going to submit yourself to the Father immediately. You're going to pray for yourself in that you're going to put away any vain imaginations. You're going to engage your imagination in your heart. And then you're going to say, since. You're going to say, since you have been given authority over all people to give eternal life to whom all you have given. What's that? That's acknowledging the power and the promise of prayer. That's acknowledging what we talked about last week, that God has conquered the world. Jesus has conquered the world. Since you have already made me a conqueror in you, I can pray for myself. Jesus reminds the Father that He had already given Him authority over all people. Maybe you've noticed so far Jesus praying in the third person. So not many of us pray, Father, the hour has come, come and glorify Paul so that your son, your Paul, may be glorified in you. Right? We don't normally pray prayers like, Lord, help Paul to preach a good sermon or love his family more. But when you do pray in the third person, you are another person praying for somebody. Or you're interceding, right? My suggestion to you is that this might be Jesus caught up in the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus is praying in unity, and the Holy Spirit says, Father, the whole hour has come, glorify your Son, the Son may glorify you. And since you have given Him all authority of all people to give, and that is Jesus' prayer. Now, the previous weeks, we've set this up, right? We've set up this idea that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are one. Pretty soon, Jesus is going to pray that they may be one as we are one. Now, I know this is complex. Some others have suggested that this is a kind of way of the writer to infuse some prayers in there for the people that they can recite. And that very well could be the case as well. But what we have is that Jesus has been given authority over all people. Right? You remember what it says in Matthew. Jesus says to the disciples, I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Right? Since you have given Him authority over all people, you give eternal life to all you have given Him. Jesus made very clear from the signs and wonders that followed Him, He carried the power and the wisdom of God. We mentioned it earlier. He raised Lazarus. He healed the man born blind. He turned water into wine. People are coming to life. The people are shouting Hosanna at this man from Nazareth. But more glory is coming. Jesus calls the glory of God down upon Himself for what He is about to accomplish, because He's going to redefine glory. Jesus prays for Himself. He restates what God has done for Him and in Him. So when we pray, we can do that. We can pray like Jesus. We can say, Lord, I've seen the ways in which You've worked in my life. I have noticed that You have made me more peaceful. I have noticed that I used to be like this, and I used to be judgmental. I used to hold grudges against people, and I don't do that anymore. I thank You, God, for that. I praise You, God, for that. And since You have done that, Since you have been faithful, I will pray now for more. I want more. I want more of your glory. In our Sunday Connection class, we talked about Moses going up to the mountain, running up the mountain and saying, show me your glory, God. Do we have Moses' heart? Show me your glory. Hey, you're not done yet. God's not done with you. There's more levels of glory. Paul calls it glory to glory. He calls it glorification. We'll read that scripture in a little bit here. So our prayers for ourselves might look similar to Jesus. In submission, we begin with Father. We ask for his glory to be made known in our lives. We ask more for God for ourselves by remembering and recounting, since you have done this in my life and this in my life, Lord, I'm only asking you to be more in my life. And you can pray that prayer. Let's read verse 3 and 4. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, finishing the work that you gave me to do. Let's skip to verse 5. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence, the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I want to read just what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, and those whom he predestined, he also called. This is chapter 8 of Romans. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Glory is in your future. Praying that God would be glorified in you is one of the most holy things that you can do. One of the most powerful things that you can do. We are created to reflect God's glory. We're created for that. And when we don't, it's off, right? I'm just off if I'm not reflecting that glory. Jesus asked for more of the presence of God, for the glory that he had with the Father when he was in the beginning with God, as John 1 says. Jesus is praying the prayer of a conqueror. One who has already achieved victory. This isn't just a message about positivity or power of positive thinking. But I am suggesting maybe our prayers would look like something like this. Please pray with me. Father, I look to you in heaven. I submit to all that you are. I trust in Jesus who has lived a perfect life and has all authority. I ask for more of your Spirit, that I may glorify you. I ask for your glory to rest on me today, that others may see you and believe and have eternal life as well. In your name we pray. Amen.